I want to take you tonight to the book of Luke, chapter number 3. The book of Luke, chapter number 3. What I'm about to tell you is not why I'm preaching on baptized with fire tonight. But this week I heard of a man who has preached this from a different standpoint for years and finally came to the conclusion that what he'd been preaching was wrong. And one who had taught basically that tongues and the baptism of fire are basically the same thing, and they are a part of the proof of salvation. By the way, the proof of salvation lies not in you, it lies in the grace of God. He's the one that saves. He's the one that keeps. He's the one that does the work. He's the one that takes us through. And so it's not of works. We so many times as God's people, we want to attach that to people's salvation. And if they're not acting just like us, we want to make them lost all of a sudden. I've been guilty of that. And we're saved by what, brethren? Grace. Through what? Faith. Okay? Does it change our life? You know, grace teaches us holiness. We find that in the Word of God. But I haven't found anybody yet totally sanctified. If I did, I'd be out of a job. I discovered something a few years ago. I have job security. Well, sort of. There's always sinners that need saved, and there's always saints that could use some holiness. Or a whole lot. Amen? So we've got an ever attachment to God, allowing Him to do His work of grace in our lives. Well, let's look here. Luke chapter 3. And I want to read just two verses to begin with tonight. And you can just stay seated very quickly. It says in John or Luke, I want to go to John for some reason. Chapter 3, verse 16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand? And he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you this evening. We can open the book of God. We pray you might bless and work in our hearts. I ask you, O God, tonight that you would just deal with our soul as only you can. No doubt in this room there might be somebody that's without Christ, without hope, without a place in eternity. Lord, I pray that you would deal with that soul. Lord, certainly in this room are those who know you that need your direction, need your guidance, need your teaching, need a better view of you. Oh God, tonight we pray that you might work in that. Teach us this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at these two verses, we find that there are really, in my mind, three baptisms spoken of. If you notice here, he talks about baptizing with water. Baptizing with water. And this is John's baptism. Though the mode was the same, he said that it was a baptism of repentance. He said it is something that is a picture of repentance. Now the word repentance is an interesting word because it basically means there's been a change of mind. We've had some thoughts change. We've looked at ourselves. We've seen ourselves as not a great person, but we've seen ourselves as a sinner. We've cried out to a holy God. And as Christians today, we look back at that time. That was a repentance. It was a change of mind about ourselves and a realization we needed Christ. But here we find that in the previous verses that he talks about this business of repentance. Notice verse number 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. First of all, he says to these people, he says, do not come with me with the idea, simply because you are Jews, you're in the camp. Don't believe just because you have a heritage that you are one who is really, we'd use the word they saved. Don't get that idea. He says there's something that is needed in your life. It's repentance. It's repentance. Notice verse number 9. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. He said for those who do not have a repentive heart, those who have not had this change of mind, there is coming this judgment. And the people asked him, say, what shall we do then? He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise. What's he saying to these people? Well, what's he saying? He is saying to them, hey, listen, there needs to be in your life some changes that have taken place. If you have changed your mind, then it's going to show itself in some outward things. He says there's going to be a sharing on your part. There's going to be something that's a little different for you. In the verse number 12, he says, then came also publicans to be baptized and said to him, Master, what shall we do? And he said to them, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. He says, be honest. There ought to be honesty in your life. And then notice in verse number 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said to them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And I'll just go with the last one especially. Have some contentment in your life. They had some specifics that were shown to them that would be results of what? Their repentance. And here we find that John is calling him to this life of repentance. What? Getting ready for the Savior's coming. That's why he came, was it not? And he preached these messages. Well, there's a baptism of water. But he also says here, he shall baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Baptized. They've been brought into or enveloped within this one body. In John chapter 7, he puts it this way, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He said, listen, something's going to happen after he leaves, and that is people who get saved, the Spirit of God is going to come into their lives. When you and I, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within. And the Holy Spirit brings with Him His abilities to us. And we are able then to begin to understand the Word of God because He enlightens us. He is the one that brings comfort to us. And you and I mean, all the things that we go through, listen, He comforts us. One of the things I look at, He comforts us with the realization, hey, He is the one who saved me. It's not me, myself, I. And I don't have to rely upon myself. I can rely upon God. It's by His grace. And He brings me comfort. He brings conviction. After you got saved and you do something wrong, is there not in your heart and your life these little twinges inside that say, you've done something wrong? And we have these things. The Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Today, you and I, we get saved. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. And you and I have that baptism. He brings us into the family of God, if you please. But what I want us to notice here is not only shall you be baptized with the Holy Ghost, but notice what else it says, and with fire. Now, I've heard it said, and I've heard it, I've not heard it preached in Baptist churches, but I've heard it preached, that that means that that is the fire of the Holy Spirit of God, and talking about the energy of the Holy Spirit of God, and that which is really the thing that really revs a Christian up. But I want us to notice something. What follows the word fire? A little grammatical thing set in there. A colon. That's interesting. So right at the end of that word fire, there's a colon. Now, what's a colon mean? We got students over here. You're not paying attention, are you? Okay, what's a colon? Yeah. Not this thing down here in your belly. There's a colon down there. It starts right here and it comes up and around and goes down. Anyway, it's not that. What is it?
Is it like in writing?
Yeah, it's in writing. Yeah. Yeah. It's the eyes and a smile. When you text and you do the, you know, it's the eyes. Okay. I've never done one of those things, but I figured it out. Okay. And yeah, a colon in writing. Yeah, you know what it means? You don't? Who knows what it means? Goodness. I've told you 1,000 times. You know what it means? What's the colon mean when it's in a sentence? Do you know what it means? Hey, thank you. There's an explanation following. Okay? Is that nice? Did God say not one jot nor tittle would pass away? Jots and tittles are pretty important, aren't they? And oftentimes we forget grammar. And we forget, you know, commas and periods and all of these things. But they're important. And God has it in His Word here. And He's got this little colon here. And it means, hey, there's something that's following this. He says, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now notice the next verse. It says, whose fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly purge His floor and will gather the wheat into His garner. But the chaff He will burn with fire unquenchable. Wow. I look at this, and that doesn't look real pleasant, does it? Part of it does, part of it doesn't. And so I'm looking here, and God says, I'm going to explain something. Whose fan in His hand? There's a place in Jerusalem where the temple sits, or where the remnants of the temple sit. And at one time, it was the threshing floor of Aranu. On that threshing floor, if the wind wasn't blowing, they could take a big sheet or, you know, a piece of cloth or whatever, and somebody'd throw the grain up in the air, and then somebody'd be waving that thing, and that would be fanning that. What was the purpose? To get the chaff away from the grain. Okay? It was to separate it. It says, whose fan is in His hand. And so what's He say? He will thoroughly, not thoroughly, but thoroughly purge His floor, will gather the wheat into His garner, but the chaff He will burn with fire unquenchable. I'm going to liken this to a few things that we'll look at as future events. Thoroughly purge His floor. I look at that and I think there is coming a time very quickly, right after the rapture. How many are looking forward to the rapture? Huh? Yeah, looking forward to Jesus coming. And as soon as that takes place, I believe we're going into a period of time called the Great Tribulation. If you're not saved, you're going into it. If you're saved, listen, the Lord comes, the shout is given, the trumpet sounds. I mean, in a twinkling of an eye, we're caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Now that sounds exciting. And so the Lord is telling us here, this great tribulation is a time He's going to thoroughly purge His floor. Let's go back to the threshing floor of who? Arano. Let's go back to that temple site, that place that He's going to thoroughly purge. And we could take it to the entire world, of course. And that period of tribulation is going to do that in this world. At present, the Lord has been showing His grace, requesting men to come to His side. But there is coming a time when the Lord will bring judgment to this earth. And He will definitely cleanse the earth of its sinful ways and establish His kingdom. So He'll truly purge His floor. But notice the next part, and it says, and will gather the wheat into His garner. So when this is separated, He gathers His wheat into the garner, and I look at that and I think of the rapture that takes place just before. Or the time after the tribulation when all of God's saints are brought before the Lord. But there's definitely a separation of these people from the chaff where we will take them away from the fires that are about to come. This event, I believe, is at hand. I believe it's very near. We are very close to that time when the Lord is going to come back and get His own. But then notice lastly, as we look here, but the chaff He will burn with fire unquenchable. Turn with me to one of the most awful chapters in the Word of God. Chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. There are some highlights in this chapter. For instance, in verse number 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's good news. That's exciting. That is a highlight. But then we see the scene changes. And what's it say? And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to what, class? Their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now we talk about people dying and going to hell. Let's understand something. There's a place that's worse than hell. Hell is cast into this place. It's called the lake of fire. They might be synonymous, but God says here very definitely, it's cast into that horrible place, the lake of fire, where for all eternity men and women burn. How else do we describe it? It's a very horrible scene that we see here. It's a judgment that comes that has absolutely no hope. There's no way out. There's no reprieve. When I was a little boy going to school, some of you have heard the story. I was at school and there was a kid leaving school. I was still in grade school. Somebody hollers at him and says, "Hey, where are you going?" And he hollers back at the top of his voice, "I'm going to hell if I don't change my ways." and just laughed. And everybody on the school ground, we laugh. But you know something? It's not funny. Since I found out what it really means. It's not funny at all. It's very sad. And God tells us there is coming this judgment of fire. What's He mean by being baptized with fire? He's not talking about having enthusiasm and excitement for God. He's talking about judgment. It's very obvious from Luke chapter 3 as we find the explanation given. It talks about the separation of the wheat and the chaff. And He talks about those fires. Revelation chapter 20 gives us a vivid picture of this. How are men judged? According to their works. According to their works. People say, well, I've been really good. In comparison to God, really? Really? See, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not some, that's all. We are all in that situation. According to every man's works. I find no reprieve. I find no escape. Satan, who's much more powerful than you and I, cannot escape. Death and hell will not escape. It is that which is eternal. Why? Because we've rejected the Son of God. There's only one way to escape. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, what? But by Me. That's it. And we have the opportunity now. But if we live without Christ and we die without Christ, we will spend eternity without Christ. It is just that simple. But if we live today and will receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God into our lives by faith, God gives us eternal life. You see, this is called eternal death. Do you know why it's called eternal death? Death is not cessation. Death is separation. Death is not ceasing forever and ever. Death in the Word of God is a separation. It's a separation, first of all, the soul from the body. And secondly, it will be the entire being from God. And there's only one place for it. It's a place that was made for the devil and his angels. It's a place we now call hell that will be judged and then sent into the lake of fire. Forever and ever and ever. Is that what I deserve? Yes. But it's not what I need to have. Because of the grace of God. Amen. I sat with two little girls a while ago, Piper and Rachel. They've lived with their grandma ever since they can remember. I said, you do understand. God may be going to take your grandma to be in His presence, to be in heaven. And tears came to their eyes and they shook their head. Yeah, we understand. But though we lose, do we also understand that to be taken into the presence of God is the greatest healing that can ever take place? Amen. And it's only by the grace of God we have that privilege. Amen. What a glorious privilege it is ours. So when we talk about the baptism of fire, We're not talking about something glorious. We're talking about something that is judgment. Because we will not receive what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. But all we can be baptized by the Spirit of God. We can, what, accept Him and have Him bring us into the family, into the body of Christ. That's the exciting part of it. Amen? We've got it. Alrighty. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I wanted to make sure I not go over tonight. We got at it really fast. Father, tonight, thank You for Your love, Your goodness, Your mercy. Oh God, we thank You tonight that we can call upon You and know that Your grace extends to each and every one of us. Lord, I pray tonight that we might certainly just trust You, realizing that it's all about You, what You've done for us. And oh God, thank You that as that Spirit of God moved into our hearts and sealed us, it sealed us from that judgment that is come, from that fire that is to fall to purge this whole world. God, I pray You might bless in the moments to follow and the young folks as they come in. And Lord Jesus, that You would just work in each of their hearts. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.